Hey, this is Cap, and thank you for listening to the Cap & Company podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you're listening to Cap & Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap & Co. and ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
So we're talking about leadership,
and the Bears have been putting some of their leaders on their Zoom calls with the media. One such member of said media is our guy. He's the great Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune and ESPN 1000, and it's always a lot of fun to have him on. And I texted him and said, hey, I'm going to ask you about this. Who is the best leader on the Chicago Bears? And he texted me back, and I read who he said, and he joins us now, Dan Wiederer. Good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. I just want you to know that Danny and I just had a short discussion off the air, setting up your Saturday morning for you. We've got a baseball doubleheader for you, 9 a.m. and 10:15 tomorrow. We'll give you the field address. You can watch my team at 9. You can watch Danny's team at 10:15. You can have a great little Saturday morning.
That might be possible. I've got a breakfast delivery I've got to make. Where are we doing this, in Glenview?
Yeah.
The field's right by Apt. And to be honest, Dan's downplaying it. It was pretty emotional. It's the last game of the season, and Dan and I being two fathers and two coaches, we both were ready to cry when we were talking to each other that it's over. He pulled the old cliche quote on me, don't be sad it's over, be happy it happened. But you know me, I'm better with negative emotions, so I'm just sad it's over.
Just toughen up and get in a fall league. They got more leagues. Let's move on to the next stage. You're better than that, Danny.
I will just tell you this. On a personal level, the 2020 Timber Rattlers will forever, for many, many, many different reasons, be one of my favorite sports teams.
That's the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, right? Isn't that who you're named after?
So,
yeah.
But for us, it's this group of 10 that has really, it's been a really enjoyable 7-8 weeks here.
Danny is on the Tin Caps.
The best team in the league, the Tin Caps, undefeated.
Do you play against that overweight manager who pulled his team off the field because it was too hot for the kids?
Danny's one age group below us. But so what's interesting is we always see each other. My game ends, and Danny's team is coming on the field right after us on the exact same field every Saturday morning. So we did not have anybody in our league pull their team off the field because it was too hot. We've got a bunch of men in the league that work.
Yeah, that guy, Danny, we need his name. We got to call him out. That's just embarrassing.
I'm not going to tell you his name, but I will tell you this. He's going to be at Field 1 tomorrow at 10:15. I'm going. Me and Coach John Bassler and Coach Tony Ante Pavic are going to take a photo with him, and I'll tweet that out. Here's the guy that quit early.
All right, I am going to come to the games tomorrow. I'm in.
All right.
I got to do a breakfast delivery to a friend, and then I will be there. Looking forward to it. Absolutely.
Glad we set that up.
100%. All right. So we're talking about leadership, and you texted me back, and I read who you said, Trevathan, Eddie Jackson, Allen Robinson, honorable mention, Cody Whitehair. I said 10, Mitch, and I'm not joking. I did say to Danny my first blush would be Danny Trevathan, but you said Mitch is good as a leader, but you have to play well to have followers. If he played well, I'm not talking about being Patrick Mahomes, is he a guy in that room that people actually look and go, that guy's a damn good leader?
No question. The wiring is there. Mitch does all the right things. He does. He works his tail off. He's a unifier. He's a guy that puts team ahead of self. He has so many intangibles. There's no question about any of that. Eventually, you have to make plays that win games in the fourth quarter. You have to take seasons that have Super Bowl hopes and at least get them into the playoffs. And when that doesn't happen, some of that luster comes off a little bit. But there's no question that Mitch has all the right wiring and all the right DNA to be a really good leader if he's able to play at a level that allows him to be the starting quarterback.
Yeah, no question about it. Well said. So as you listened to these Zoom calls, is there any underlying theme that is emerging to you, like team on a mission to quiet all the haters, team that is got some trepidation? How would you characterize that?
So here's a couple themes for you. I thought yesterday when we heard from the coaches, there was this a lot of shrugs, and not in a bad way, just in a, we haven't seen anybody practice at any point this year, right? All of 2020 has been void of practice. And so there is just so much curiosity and so much unknown for this team, which, oh, by the way, has 5 weeks to get ready for a meaningful game against the Lions in Detroit. And so there's a very crunched time window and a lot to learn and a lot to figure out, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. The other part of this is that I think there's just this, because of that, there's this urge and this antsiness for everyone to get to next week, to have an actual practice. Danny Trevathan, and I tweeted it out earlier, said this morning that he just feels like guys are fiending for it, that they're scratching their necks because they haven't had it all year, and that obviously walkthroughs are necessary and everything, but they're ready for high-speed, full-tempo football practices, and those should start to get going next week. It won't be till the 17th till they put the pads on. A lot of work needs to get done, and right now it's a lot of, we don't know who we are, we don't know our identity, we don't know what we're good at, and we've got to figure it out quickly.
The Bears, just like everybody else, COVID-19 overshadows everything. How have you found, and you're not there, obviously, because everything's on lockdown, how have you found the players to be navigating COVID but understanding we got to prepare for an NFL season as of right now?
So I think the challenge will intensify as we go forward. Right now, they've been allowed to ease into this thing with distancing procedures and no real practices. And eventually, the testing is going to go from every day to every other day. The practices are going to require guys to get right in each other's faces, to do drills, to play football, to do the things that come with this sport. And so it's going to be more and more challenging to make sure that everybody is taking care of themselves and watching their behavior when they are away from the facility, because you know how quickly this can become one positive test becomes three positive tests, becomes a spread, and now you're in trouble, right? And so that's where this thing is going to get difficult as they go forward, as the testing gets less frequent, as the actual contact and close contact becomes a lot more prevalent. It's going to be a challenge. To this point, I think the Bears have done a great job. They've been very fortunate to have that new beautiful facility up in Lake Forest. Sean Desai, their safeties coach, who's been here since 2013, said yesterday, look, you know, you rewind just 2 years. I don't know what we would have done without the expansion to Halas Hall, because we would have been confined, right? The space would have been tight, and there wouldn't have been the resources to make things happen the way they need to happen in this new world where you got to spread everybody out. And so they've been fortunate in that regard that they have a setup that works for them to this point.
The big question, obviously, is who's going to win the quarterback battle. Are there any other battles on the team that, as you look from, you know, 20,000 feet above and you're on Zoom like I am, you look and go, you know what? That battle's going to be amazing. Could that be at corner? Could that be at safety? Is there one in there that really intrigues you?
So, you know, I think that you go right guard, you go safety. There's starting positions opening there. I'm most interested in the battle for the right cornerback job. I'll also throw this in here at the end about just the depth at wide receiver and how you figure out which the guys are. You know who your top few are, but you got to figure out the pecking order of all that. Right cornerback is really interesting because you drafted a guy in the second round in Jalen Johnson that you believe will be a long-term difference-making starter in your defense. Well, he also didn't have rookie minicamp, OTAs, minicamp, the first 2 weeks of training camp, won't have preseason games. And so this hope that you can throw him out there early in the season without ever having tested them against NFL competition to any extent is going to be difficult. And so I think while Jalen Johnson will probably be a starter by the end of the year, how quickly can he get there is an interesting question. And so now you look at Artie Burns and Kevin Tolliver and some of the other guys at cornerback that they may need to be placeholders and bridges at the start of the season to keep that defense humming until Jalen Johnson is ready to be thrown in there full time as an NFL starter. So that's the one that's going to be interesting for me to watch.
Matt talks about how tight the team is. And we heard this last year And at the end of the year, I remember you saying to me, yeah, great. I'm thrilled that you're tight. Win football games. And I don't disagree. I completely understand that perspective. Matt said the other day, correct me if I'm wrong, we're tighter now than we were then. Do you believe that? Do you think that that is a major deal?
You know what I say to this? I say, cool. You know, great. You know, I'm just not for celebrating prerequisites for success. Great. You check that box. You set yourself up with one of the prerequisites to be a successful football team. There's 20 other boxes that need to be checked on that list. I do think this team is built in a way where there's a hunger about them. There's a group of passionate guys who really care about winning, who really care about bringing out the best in each other. And I think that matters. Yes, it matters. There's no question about it. I'm just not throwing a parade for it. It's not worthy of celebrating until you go out and turn that into results. And results mean winning games. It means getting into the playoffs. It means perhaps winning a playoff game every decade, you know?
That'd be nice.
Advance the franchise, right? Like, so that's where I stand on that. There's been a lot of close teams that finished 9-7 and feel great about how united they were. But at this point in Chicago, with what this city has suffered through for really 30 years, it only goes so far.
Well, I'm excited for football just like everybody else. Do you think we're going to start on time? I know that's the plan, but what do you believe?
Yes, I do believe we're going to start on time. And I give the NFL a lot of credit. We've talked about this before, that it's really easy to sort of have that knee-jerk reaction and be like, oh, they weren't preparing. They did a great job this offseason of setting themselves up to be successful, for giving this thing a go. It's going to be really challenging. I said the other day, it's like walking through a minefield. Here's my anxiety / skepticism. The Super Bowl, with no interruptions, will be played 6 months from now. That is a long, long, long road to go down, right? And to try to navigate that road without any detours, without any stops, without driving into a pothole, without driving through a guardrail. There's a long road for this journey to go through just to get to the end of the season without any sort of interruptions. And so think about where you were 6 months ago, Cap. You know, it's early February. None of this stuff had even begun for any of us yet. And so when you put it in that lens and realize just how long of a journey this is going to be, it's going to be really difficult for 32 teams and an entire league to be able to do this without hiccups. We'll see where they go. But I do think they've set themselves up to start on time. I think they've set themselves up to manage problems and to troubleshoot in a sort of organized fashion. And then we'll just see whether football can be played during a pandemic of a respiratory virus, right? We've never tried it before, and so it's a lot of uncertainty ahead.
Can we go back to just worrying about who the kicker is?
I mean, it felt great, right? I mean, it really felt great, August of 2019, to be in that world that we didn't realize at the time was so carefree, and we thought that every Elliott Fry miss and Eddie Pinheiro make was the most significant thing in the world, right? I really do. I miss training camp in so many ways. It's a grind. There's no question about it. But you miss the grind, and you miss the rhythm it provides to your summer, the rhythm it provides to life, the lead up to an actual season. This is just so different this year, and hopefully here soon we'll get some taste of what that used to be like, and we'll see what we can do with it.
Hey, man, have a great weekend. I will see you tomorrow. I am in.
Get your Rattlers gear and be there with a smile and, as I ask my players, positive energy. It's all positive energy all the time. I say.
Who are you playing against?
We are playing the Iron Birds tomorrow.
The Iron Birds. That sounds like a cool name of a team.
It's all minor league teams in our league, and so I don't know where that minor league team is from, but my group has made strides, and I feel, as Danny was saying, I just feel fortunate that we've had the opportunity to let these kids try this and to get better at a sport in a summer. Imagine that, right?
Imagine that. Well, stay safe and healthy. I'll have my mask on, my coffee in my hand, and I'll be ready to cheer.
Can't wait to see you.
Are you playing against Danny's team tomorrow by chance?
You want us to have like a late afternoon regroup?
Yeah. I'd love to see Timber Rattlers and Tin Caps locking horns.
We're an older age group. Maybe I can set that up. It would be nice for my kids to dominate.
Right, exactly. End the summer with confidence.
Absolutely.
We'll see you, man.
All right, see you guys.
All right, that's our guy, Dan Wiederer, Chicago Tribune. Danny, I'm in, man. I'm coming to see you guys play.
Can't wait, Cap. Looking forward to it.
What time you start?
We start at 10:15.
And he's right after that?
He's before us. Cap, were you listening at all to him?
I'm just trying to make sure I got him balanced.
His son's
here.
A year older than us, so they play before
us. Right, that's
us.
Why I'm trying to set up the game in the afternoon of the two divisions going up against each other.
Yes, we play at 10:15. We're a year younger. I think our team could probably take his. We're a very well-coached squad. We've got the great John Bassler, the great Tony Ante Pavic, and myself really leading the charge. It's like having, you know, Joe Maddon and having Joe Torre and then having, you know, who's another great man, Bobby Cox, together on one bench.
Having the game in the afternoon helps Danny's team because in the morning they're just coming off their 16-hour fast. So they have more energy
correct.
Later
that's
in the afternoon,
point.
So they've got a chance in that Reader's afternoon
game. Kids are stuffed with donuts and pizza, burgers, hot dogs, fries. They're all greased up. And Danny's kids, lean, mean, fighting machines.
A kid on our team brought Gatorade for everyone a couple weeks ago, and I looked at him and I said, you know how much sugar's in that? Throw those down the drain now!
Yeah. He didn't bring Gatorade Zero?
I don't know what it was. I wouldn't even look at it. I said, down the drain if you think you're taking the field there, pal. And just because of that, you're playing right field where nobody will hit the ball the rest of the day.
That's exactly right. Teach him young, Danny. 312-332-3776. Tim on the south side is on hold. Incoming fireworks. And he may have a really bad take.
This is Cap and Company.
Something? Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000. Danny, we forgot the number one leader for the Bears.
Who would that be, Kaplan?
I believe our good friend Shea Pepler told us Eddie Pinheiro was the face of the franchise.
Face of the franchise, leader of the team. Did you know that Eddie Pinheiro gained 8 pounds of muscle in the offseason?
Love it.
I'm trying to get him on the Armchair Nutritionist podcast to talk about how he went about doing that.
I love that.
He lost body fat. Gained 8 pounds of muscle. They thought that was one of the things that was keeping him from, you know, consistently nailing the longer kicks.
And the kickoffs.
Correct.
Yes, because only buff kickers make kicks in the NFL.
Well, he's really skinny. I mean, he's really skinny. And they also mentioned something about how it will help him in cold weather. And they didn't exactly say why. And it led me to believe maybe he was so skinny that he was just so freezing cold in Green Bay in December that he couldn't function properly.
Well, look, Shea told us he's the face of the franchise, so absolutely.
Face of the franchise.
100%. Take that, Shea. 312-332.
Didn't she also say Khalil Mack was going to be the greatest Bears defender of all time?
She said he already belonged on the Mount Rushmore.
I love her.
I love her, too. I miss her. Anyway, Tim on the south side. Fireworks incoming. Just don't hang up on me. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Babe Winkleman, how you doing?
All good, kid. You like that fish, huh?
Well, I know you did. Did you mount it?
I did not. I threw it back. Catch and release, buddy.
You should mount it right on that net where Aloy Jimenez crashed into. Put a little ambulance, say, we saved Aloy Jimenez's life. but listen to me. You know that catch with Dwayne Wise that saved the perfect game?
Yes.
You should put a little ambulance next to that. That saved Aloy Jimenez's career right there. I don't know what he would have broke, but he would have broke something.
Yeah, it was not good, my man.
Do you think Rick Hahn... Now, listen to me. You say you're a Cub fan, Sox fan, you root for both teams. Now you're too mature to be, like me, a fan of a team. Do you think Carmen DeFalco, Fred Huebner, and all the other Sox fans want you on this bandwagon? Do you think Chuck Garfine wants you saying, oh, yeah, we stole the Aloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease from you? Rick Hahn is laughing about that trade. You think Cub fans want to hear you say that? And do you think Sox fans want to hear you say that? Because now it looks foolish, doesn't it?
Look, here's the deal. It is not foolish because I'm about unity, Tim.
That doesn't mean anything. You know what you're about? You're about trying to flip-flop like Flipper every time. Now Aloy Jimenez looks bad. That looks like a bad deal. The Cubs are happy to get rid of him because, like Danny said, we did not have a DH. 3 years are up with Jose Quintana. We made the playoffs 2 years in a row. Whether you like Jose Quintana or not, he helped us. The Sox have to go to the playoffs 2 years in a row with Dylan Cease and Aloy Jimenez, or we won the trade. End of story.
Okay, so are you telling me that you would still make that trade again today?
Are you crazy? We went to the playoffs. We were in the Final Four in 2017. Aloy Jimenez was still in the minors trying to figure out how to play tiddlywinks over there. And Dylan Cease had an ERA of 50. Yes, I would make that trade again and because we went to the playoffs. I had fun in 2017. The White Sox were losing 100 games. I had fun in 2018. The White Sox were losing 95 games. I don't know if Dylan Cease and Aloy Jimenez will ever make the playoffs. Yes, I would make that trade again.
There is no, look, Theo Epstein wouldn't make that trade again. You're better than that.
How the hell could you say that now that they made the playoffs? The Sox did not make the playoffs with Aloy Jimenez. Rick Hahn is sitting there going, oh, my God, he's going to kill Louis Robert. He's going to kill himself. His pride won't let him turn him into a DH because he traded him for a left fielder. Now you're going to have to wait till he breaks his freaking neck before they turn him into a DH.
Look, he's going to be
a kind of stupid. I said he's the worst general manager in Chicago baseball in the last 7 years. You'll never say it because you're a flip-flopper. You're flipper.
No, I'm a unity guy who's a Cubs
fan. Okay, unity is tell Chuck Garfine next time the Chicago Cubs won this trade until you guys go to the playoffs once with the Aloy Jimenez. Once.
Tim, we love you. Have a great day.
Am I right or am I wrong?
Until the White Sox achieve something with these guys,
we won the trade.
You're correct.
Oh, thank you. Tell Chuck Garfine that next time you talk to him.
But I would be willing to tell you that.
We won the trade until you guys make the playoffs with Aloy Jimenez.
Tim, if you were in Vegas and they had odds of who will end up winning the trade, you'd bet the White Sox every day.
Oh, yeah. After we get Aloy Jimenez out of the hospital next week or the week after, and Dylan Cease, still, his ERA is still over 7. Give me an effing break.
Tim, have a great weekend.
Later.
See ya.
Cap, you keep bringing up this unity, and I told you how I think
I'm thinking about going to get the unity tattoo this weekend. I don't know if I'm going to have time because I'm going to these two Little League games tomorrow.
Skip the games, go get the tattoo.
No, I want to watch the games.
That'll last forever.
I can get there another day.
But my point is,
my afternoon's got a lot freer.
You notice how I've poo-pooed your unity thing. I don't think cheering for the Cubs and Sox fixed the world's issues. 2020 sucks, and you rooting for both teams doesn't fix that.
I'm talking about unity for everything.
I got that. I understand where you're coming from. But let me ask you a question. One of your catchphrases is take that. There's no unity when you say take that and throw things in people's faces. So if you're going to play the unity card, you've got to retire the take that card. You can't talk out of both sides of your mouth.
Whoa.
Take that is kind of like a put down. Like, I told you I'm right. Take that. You're wrong. There's no unity in that. That's very divisive.
I disagree with you.
Very divisive.
Because Danny,
I'm calling on you, David Emmanuel Kaplan, to choose a lane. Do you want to unify all the people of Chicago with you, take the walk from Staten Lake to Riverwoods for a purpose? Or do you want to say take that and be divisive and divide and conquer?
Danny,
it's you choose your lane, Cappy.
Everything is about presentation. So if my wife comes in the house and goes, would you pick your damn socks up off the floor? I'm going to look and go, who are you talking to, girl? That's what I would say.
You would call her girl. You'd be sleeping on the street.
I call her that all the time. Call her the wife. She knows I love her dearly. I would say, back off there, Sparkles. But if she came in and said, hey, honey, I work all day too. And as she likes to say, she goes, and I work a lot harder than you. I'm exhausted. And if you would throw your socks in the hamper, it would really make life easier because she handles the laundry. And I would absolutely do that. It's presentation. So I could say, unity, but I can also give you a little good-natured, take that.
No.
Yeah, like you said, it's about presentation. Your take that isn't, hey, could you please pick your socks up and put them in the hamper?
Your take that's kind of like in your face. I'm better than you. I just topped you. I need to make sure you know it. Your presentation on the take that is not so great.
Yeah, I like take that.
I think you're going to have to retire it. I'm calling for you to retire it if you keep going the unity route.
Take that's not going away. Take
that. So take that.
So take that, Danny. Adam Burrish previews Hawks Oilers with us. Game 4 tonight, 5 o'clock pregame with Pat Boyle on NBC Sports Chicago, and 5:45, that puck hits the ice. What a great way to start the weekend. Cannot wait. Adam Burrish.
This is Cap and Company. Follow at the Capman on Twitter.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
They have pulled it back. Keith Murphy's long with the tip. They score! John the Tate seemed to redirect it. A long wrister from Connor Murphy to the back of the net. I think it's the captain who won the draw, then got to the goal. The Hawks, with 76 seconds remaining, have the lead.
And Oilers in Edmonton on a sheet of ice at 5:45 this afternoon. What a great way to start the weekend. Throw something on the grill, pour a nice cocktail, and sit down and watch some hockey and some baseball tonight. Love it. And I think, Danny, it's supposed to be in the 90s tomorrow. I think it's supposed to be in the 90s. So that's pretty awesome. So I'm excited to watch this game tonight. Can they find a way to win a hockey game? One shift, one shot, one period at a time. Jeremy Colliton says he expects the Edmonton Oilers to be desperate.
Desperation. And that would be their best game of the series. So we got to prepare for that. And hopefully we've learned a lesson from our approach in game two. It's not just going to happen. We've got to be ready from the start, do all the little details and have the work ethic away from the puck. And we need it. We need everyone going to have a chance to win. If we do it, we have a good chance. But we got to make sure we're preparing the right way starting today.
So that was Jeremy Colliton. That leads us to Adam Burrish from NBC Sports Chicago and a Stanley Cup winner. And he joins us now. Burr, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, Cap. How are you?
I'm good. First of all, is there a new addition to the Burrish family?
There is. We had a little baby girl about a month ago. So if I sound a little tired today, I wasn't up late doing what you were probably getting to do last night, have some drinks, hang out, watch some hockey. I was up feeding our baby, changing diapers. I'm going for dad of the year, Cap.
There
so
you
far,
go.
So good.
And you got a chance to win it. Yeah, I was watching the Cubs, and I do a recap on Twitter and Instagram after every game, and when it was 9-0 in the fourth, I did the recap right then and said, yeah, I'm out, and I grabbed a bottle of Eagle Rare and said, I'm drinking that, see you tomorrow, and they lost 13-2.
Perfect.
So let's talk some hockey, because Edmonton's going to play, and Jeremy Colliton just said, I expect desperation from them. They've got great team speed, great special teams. What are the Hawks doing that is neutralizing that?
I think it's what they're doing offensively. I think, you know, game one, their power play ran at 50%. Their power play was awesome. Game two, it wasn't. They end up losing. Game three, they're scoring goals. You're going to have to score four goals, Cap, to win this series, I still think. I don't think we're going to see a 2-1 hockey game. Edmonton's got too much firepower up front. The Hawks, I don't want to say you've got to open it up, because you've got to be solid defensively. Matchups are going to be really important for Jeremy, trying to get Duncan Keith out there against McDavid as much as you can, trying to get Taves' line out there probably against McDavid's line. And your fourth line, you know they're going to get matchups against McDavid. Edmonton's coach Dave Tippett's got McDavid and Draisaitl out there against the Hawks' fourth line almost every, you know, multiple times a period. So your fourth line is going to have to be really good defensively. But for me, it's just limit your mistakes defensively. Don't give McDavid freebies. He's going to get his opportunities. Don't give him easy ones. Make him earn them. But he's going to get chances. And he's Patrick Kane's my favorite player to watch. Connor McDavid is 1B for me. It's pretty incredible. This is the best series going on right now.
Yeah, Connor McDavid's goal the other night on Monday, the second goal that he scored, when he was able, I don't know how he did this, he was able to increase his speed while settling down a bouncing puck twice and went by Slater Cuckoo like it was me on skates and then roofed it over Corey Crawford. That was one of the most magnificent goals I've seen in eons.
Yeah, me or you, he went right by like that.
My God.
We've never seen a player as fast as him in hockey. People can go back and say Pavel Bure or nobody's skated as fast as Connor McDavid. It's unfair. It's like if he's playing a video game and hitting the fast button and going 100 miles an hour around big time NHL defensemen. So it's fun to watch. You can't be as a Hawks fan. It's almost enjoyed. It's probably like the rest of the league looking at Patrick Kane and what Jonathan Toews have done the last 15 years. And you're kind of like, God, I just appreciate it. It's fun to watch. It's incredible. You're seeing one of the best players to ever play the game in number 97 for the Oilers. So it's fun to watch. I know it's not fun to defend against, so I'm glad I don't have to go out there and play against a guy like him. But he's going to get chances. And just don't give him easy ones. Just, you know, try and make him go 200 feet. And the other scary part about this Edmonton team is their power play is the best power play the Edmonton Oilers have had in 40 years. That's Gretzky. That's Gretzky time. Messier, Paul Coffey, Jari Kurri. So dangerous team, but it's a fun game to watch. I've got friends, Cap, that aren't hockey fans that are saying, geez, I'm watching this Blackhawks series. This is crazy hockey. It's back and forth. It's up and down. It's goal after goal. This is awesome. So I think it's fun for hockey.
Yeah, I'm thoroughly enjoying watching this and excited to watch tonight. What is your perspective on Corey Crawford, who deals with the shutdown? Oh, by the way, he tested positive for COVID. He hadn't been on the ice in 4 months, and two of the first three games, he's been really good. And I had him as my number one star the other night, because when it's 3-2 with 6 minutes to go, he's making two grade-A chance saves that keep that game alive.
I'm with you, Cap. Take 4.5 months off of doing anything and then go back and do it at the highest level. And, you know, good luck. And for him to take 4.5 months off, then have to deal with this sickness, I mean, he said wasn't that bad for him, but still, you got to deal with it, the stress of it, wondering what's going to happen. And all of a sudden, you pop back into a Stanley Cup playoff game and you're arguably the best player on the ice. It's incredible. He's incredible. He doesn't get enough. You know, you and I have talked about this for years, Cap, that he doesn't get enough credit for being probably the top goalie in the league. If you were to look at across the board in the Stanley Cup playoffs right now, if you've got a game seven or an elimination game, is there another goalie you're taking other than Corey Crawford? I don't think so. But nonetheless, him and all these guys, just in general, to play at the level that these guys are playing at right now in this playoffs, the speed, the intensity, the skill, it looks like these guys haven't missed a beat. And to take 4.5 months off and to jump right back into this, Corey Crawford, the rest of the guys on the team, I played hockey, and taking 4.5 months off and then jumping back into it and not looking like you've missed a beat, these guys are freaks, and it's pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of making a run, you were a player, so all you thought about stepping on the ice is, what do I have to do to find a way to win a hockey game today? I look at it with this long-term perspective and go, well, if they don't, I don't think they can win the cup. So if they get knocked out and then they get lucky and win the draft and get Alexis Lafreniere, who they're comparing to Sidney Crosby, maybe that's the best thing. From a player's perspective, do you ever let yourself think like that?
No, it's, you know what, I watch other sports too, and I'll hear it get said in football or basketball. You hear it a lot. You've heard it with the Bulls that, God, they just got to tank the season so they can get a high pick, and that's what they're going to do. And maybe that goes on in management. I've never been in management. Maybe that's why you see younger players come up and get a chance to play. But as an athlete and you're playing, once you're out there and that puck drops, you're trying to win a hockey game, and you're trying to play well, and you're trying to get a contract, and you're trying to get an extension, and you're trying to get more ice time. And you're trying not to get embarrassed or beat up or have some guy yell and scream at you on the ice. So it doesn't cross an athlete's mind. And if it does in other sports or anywhere else, I'd be shocked. But I can tell you in hockey, these guys, you get out there, and especially in the Stanley Cup playoffs, Without fans or with fans, you can watch these games. There's fights, and like I think there was a couple games where it was game one of a series, no fans in the building, nobody around, and these guys get out there and fight in the third shift. You tell me there's no intensity or competitiveness, and these guys don't care. It's you're playing professional hockey at the National Hockey League level. You care. This is your job. This is your livelihood. You want to win. You want to produce. Do the Hawks have a team to win a Stanley Cup? I don't know, 4.5 months ago, I think we all said no. Right now, with what's going on and the way this playoffs are being played, who knows? Who knows? I don't think anybody picked them being up 2-1 to Edmonton either, with the way Edmonton's offense is, the way their power play is. I wouldn't have picked it, to be honest with you. Probably, I didn't think they would have won the last game. I thought the game was over. I thought McDavid and Draisaitl took that thing over, and the Hawks would have to get lucky to come back. They grinded it out. So I think they're surprising a lot of people. This is a situation we've never seen before, Cappy's playoffs, what's going on. Who knows what can happen anymore? I think it's just fun for hockey. I think it's fun to watch. The Blackhawks being able to go back and forth with one of the most offensive teams in the league, good for them. Good for this team getting ready to play. It's been fun.
Hey, last thing. I've always wanted to ask you this. So I was at a restaurant called Sunda. This was like June of 2010. And you just had won the Stanley Cup. And I'm sitting at dinner with my wife, my sister-in-law, it was her birthday, and my brother-in-law. And all of a sudden, like, all hell breaks loose in the restaurant. I look up, there's you, Sharp, Kane, Taves, Keith, Seabrook, all these guys with the Stanley Cup. Rewind your brain to that moment. What was it like going on that tour? This wasn't Cup 2 or Cup 3. This is Cup 1, and this city was starved for this to happen. What was going through your mind? Like, what was that like?
Oh, my gosh, that's David Kaplan. That was what I was thinking when I walked in.
Funny guy.
Got to hang with Cap. It was incredible. It was we were young kids that were – it was our second really round playing in the playoffs, and it was incredible. The city just – the city made us feel like we were we were part of them. We were part of the city. None of us are from Chicago, but most of us have now all made our homes in Chicago because of it. But the people in Chicago and the fans, I've told you this for years, is they appreciate hard work. They appreciate a good effort. They appreciate the grit and the grind. And we had a bunch of guys that kind of did that and kind of endeared ourselves to the city. We all love the city. We love playing for Chicago. We played our tails off every night. And all of a sudden we win a cup and come back and just kind of had no idea that we had always heard that Chicago is a hockey town. Yeah, we know it's a Bears town, number one, but it's a hockey town. It's a Blackhawk town, and, man, we felt it, and we fed off that energy, and then we came back, and the city was just nuts. I wish I could go back and do that every day, but it was certainly a special time.
Unbelievable.
In our lives. And I'm fortunate to be a part of it.
Yep, it was an amazing, amazing moment. I'll never forget it. Thank you, man. Go back to being Father of the Year, and I look forward to seeing you when we get our lives back and you're in studio.
No kidding. See you soon, Cap. Thanks.
All the best. That's our guy, Adam Burrish from NBC Sports Chicago and a Stanley Cup winning player for the Blackhawks. We will get to more of your calls and talk baseball with Russell Dorsey of the Sun-Times. That's coming up at 11. Be right back. This hour brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. Through life's ups and downs over all the journeys ahead. Danny, you know what to bring. Eric, the card you can count on. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. Through it all.
You're listening to Cap and Company. See what we're up to on Twitch.
At ESPN 1000 Chicago.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000. So there's a company that we have as a great sponsor here. It's called PropSwap. Luke Pergundy of PropSwap has been a great, great supporter of our station and of this show. And we talk about it all the time that if you want to go on their site and explore some amazing opportunities where you go, oh, I'm going to buy that ticket. and then watch the PGA Championship or the NFL season or whatever it is. And Luke's kind enough to join me for a couple of moments. Luke, how are you, man?
I'm good, Cap. How are you?
I'm doing well. I love perusing through the site and going, wait a second. I got to take a shot at that. You can invest small money with huge return, right?
Yep, exactly. So you got a Blackhawks ticket, a 80-1 odds that you bought a week and a half ago. Their odds are now 30-1, so you can flip that ticket immediately and you know, not be concerned if Edmonton makes a return here.
So how much action are you seeing on the Blackhawks tonight? Because I'm sure people bet it early in the series. Edmonton was like minus 185 just game one alone, and all of a sudden that those odds have plummeted. Are you seeing some action?
Yeah, we've seen Blackhawks futures, you know, like them at 80-1. We've seen the series price sell. I'd say the highest series price we saw was plus 165. So bet $100, get 260 back. But, yeah, I mean, we can't keep a Blackhawks ticket on the shelf. Before I got into sports betting, I had always heard from Caesars Palace and MGM that, you know, the Blackhawks are such a public team. But now I'm living through it. It's crazy.
What about on the PGA that's going on right now? Because the PGA is something – I love gambling on golf. And, like, for example, I was going to make a bunch of plays yesterday, and I had stuff going on that I just – I didn't get him in, so I am going to wait and see how the second round plays out and then go on your site and buy a ticket to cheer for the weekend.
Yeah. I mean, you can buy them during the round as well. We have a Jason Day ticket up there right now at odds of 8-1. He's co-leader, so that's an interesting one. We got a Brooks Koepka ticket up there. You can buy and sell tickets throughout today's round as well.
The Brooks Koepka, he's a guy that has had a little bit of injury issues this year, but he's always great in majors. You can also find long shot tickets where small investment, massive payoff.
Totally. Yeah, so Brendan Todd was an example of that last week. A guy got him at 150-1 odds. He bet $100. And then Brendan Todd was in the lead the first 3 days. He had a 4-stroke lead on Saturday, and then just blew it on Sunday. But that guy who bet $100, he sold it for $3,000 on Saturday. And of course, that ticket ended up being worthless the next day.
That's the best thing about prop swap. You can invest your money and have a huge return, or you could sell your ticket and go, I got out at the right time.
Yeah. Yeah, golf, you know, convincing someone to sell their, you know, Blackhawks ticket that they've been holding on to for months is a little bit more difficult than a golf ticket. Like, you buy your golf ticket on Thursday, sell it on Saturday. You know, the whole time is just way shorter.
Well, we appreciate your guys' loyalty to our station 100%, and it's going to be fun. I like, as I said, betting on the PGA, so I'll be on your site as soon as I get off the air.
Thanks, Kat. Good to talk to you guys.
All right, propswap.com, right?
Yep, you got it.
There you go. Have a great day and a great weekend. 312-332-3776. If you've never tried it, it's awesome. Prop swap. Real fast, Dave on the south side. Hey, Dave, what's up, man?
Hey, you know, last time I spoke to you was 2014 after a similar Cubs loss. I believe you were on WGN at the time. I've been following you since I was a kid in 98. That show was half of my life. And when I saw you giving that farewell, I should say when I watch you, because I've watched you about 15 times, I see all of my sports memories just flashing back in front of me.
Well, I greatly appreciate you watching that show.
Yeah, and I also wanted to say, you know what? If the Hawks can pull it off this year in the middle of the pandemic, it would be the sixth non-Bulls championship in my life in the city of Chicago.
All right, so you've had some things to cheer for.
Yeah.
Hey, man, have a great day. Yeah. Appreciate you. Thanks for listening to the show and watching. All right, baseball talk. Russell Dorsey covering Cubs-Cardinals. Is it going to happen? Sounds like it. We'll find out in 2 minutes.